Now, I have a few disclaimers for you. You can be seated. Thank you. We have a amen system in Houston. It's a little bit different. And so I want to reveal that to you in case I actually call for an amen. Ours is booyah and shaka. So if I say booyah, you say booyah. So I want you to practice one time. Booyah. That's what we do. Booyah. Amen. Or shaka. Shaka. Amen. So that's an amen in Texas. Amen. Booyah. Good, 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 good. Praise the Lord. How many enjoyed Alan this morning? Wow. I was amazed. He began to speak upon the exaltation of the soul and it trying to get God to exalt that part of him and that part of us. And it was so amazing because it's feeding right into what the Lord wants to say today. And he asked me to talk a little bit about what's happened over the last 3 years in our ministry and, more importantly, personally. I had one of those souls that, although I desperately wanted that part of me with the Father, it was also, I was wanting that part of me. I'll call it the Ishmael. You know, Abraham had two sons. One was Isaac. One was Ishmael. And many part of that, we really have two sons within us. Those two sons run deep. The new man, the old man. And many times that old one is demanding an exaltation and is trying to find its identity in what God is going to do through us. And at the same time, the new man's growing alongside. And sometimes those compete in war against another. And you feel that war. And even for probably a good part of 13 years of ministry, that war was there. That there was part of me that God was in you. He pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls us towards him into a place of rest with him. And that other part of us that's wanting to find that identity and what he's doing through us. And that part can get you in a lot of trouble. It got me in a lot of trouble. Because that ambitious part of me couldn't wait. And it wouldn't die. You know, Abraham had a hard time dying himself. And we saw what happened. And what had happened, I feel like the Lord wants me to just introduce this a little bit for where I'm going today. That ambition, because I couldn't wait on what the Lord wanted to do, I was constantly finding a gift, sticking it in the ministry, finding a gift, promoting, finding a gift, promoting. And you have to understand something. The government that's in this house, the DNA runs very, very deep. And it takes time to get the fullness of that DNA within us. And a lot of times we think we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. And many times he's still working the depth of that DNA in us. Because what happens when it's prematurely promoted, then what will happen, the old DNA that God was trying to phase out, you'll get to rolling for a little while, and then that old DNA will come up. And that's what was happening with us. And we were on a roll. We were in the height of our ministry. Some things were really wonderful things going on, but that was all, you know, the one part of me wanted the fellowship, and the other part, to be honest with you, I was looking for something in God's multiplication that I realize now I could never have found. I was looking for him to do something. And because of it, I couldn't wait on him. And I put a lot of things. I said a lot of things. And they all grew up together. Sometimes you don't see when they grew up together. You have the pure DNA. And then you have what I call hybrid DNA. Growing up together. And there came a time the Lord said, this will not do. And he said, because I'm only going to bring forth the pure. I'm telling you, God has a sword. And when he begins With his sword, he has a precision which he can cut. And there's a lot of casualties when this happened because of the hybrid DNA. Do you guys know what I'm talking about with this? And when it came up together, and we experienced a major brokenness 3 years ago. I experienced a major brokenness. That part of me, that second son that kept wanting God to exalt just so I can have some level of fulfillment that could have been fulfilled in him, it wouldn't let go. And it was broken. Really, it fell on the rock. The rock fell on it and just broke him. And in that place, where do you go from there? You know, you're in a situation like that and all my elders left, all my leadership left, all the families left, half the intercessors left, and we were, when I was sharing this with Tim, we were left with a nub. And he said, you have a stump. And he said, that stump is holy and it'll grow again. I'm like, are you sure we even have a stump? And that's all we had. It was a tree, you know. And when you look at 10, 15 years of your life that just gets cut down like that, and if your identity was in that, it does something to you. It takes the fight out of you. You don't have that same intensity that you have. And, you know, when I would encounter situations, that Peter and me would always just get back up. But I found he wasn't there anymore to go jump out again. I didn't have the will to do it. And I was sitting in a position for several years saying, God, I don't want this. I'm just showing up because that's what I'm supposed to do. And literally, I just show up. Because that level just, it takes something out. And there was no more the pursuit of trying to build something anymore. And that was actually a good thing. Because listen, my friends, if we build too low and not where God wants us to build, it's going to be very ineffective. And everything God is teaching us right now is how to build where he is. And he began, as he does by his grace, to start calling again. And I said, Lord, I'm not ready to do that again. I'm really not. He said, it's not going to be like that this time. And about this time last year, started over the summer, it was actually a grace that he gave me, and he pulled me in to the place that Pastor Dave spent 6-8 hours a day worshiping God into it. I was pulled into this for 6 weeks straight every day. And the pureness of the Father's love that, he can't describe it, I can't describe it. Yet, how did you describe that? There is a love of the Father that comes here in visitation. But there's another love when you go to him that is so surpassing and so far greater. And the fullness of it, and the magnitude by which it heals and cleanses and sets free and makes you whole of things that, in the amazing time it can do it just so quickly. I found myself caught up, and I was writing letters to men that cut down 15 years of my life, and I'd write letters in the midst of this love, and they would call me and they said, how can you write something like this? And I said, I was in another place. And I was so in intercession. Father, never let this leave. I don't ever want to leave this place. And y'all, we were in the middle of conference last year and I just didn't want to leave. I was kind of like Rick Joyner in his book when they went to the top of the mountain and, you know, and they went into the Father's love. And the first thing they said, I don't want to leave because you don't. And I kept crying. I got, God, if this is a position of grace, you've got to teach me how to stay here because I don't want to leave here. I'm going to tell you right now, for every grown man in here, every single one of us need the depth of the Father's love. the transparency of pure perfection. It's the answer to the body of Christ. It's the answer for the whole world. You weep in that place. The intercession is so natural because you're in Him. You're with Him and in Him. And you're interceding. And the world could just know you. You're so misrepresented. You're misrepresented by your people, your leadership. The world doesn't know this. They don't know. I didn't. I sat here for years. I knew the visitation of His love. I had where He would come down and, you know, like all of us and in the lines and all that. But when you go to where He is, oh my. And I asked Him in intercession, I said, Lord, would You teach me a pathway the way You taught Pastor Dave? I said, because I kind of knew that this was a gift to go into the promised land and pull some fruit out and say, this is what it's like. And it was full. There's a whole lot more there. Everything's there. And He began to open things. And you know what He said? He said, you'll find it in the book of John. I said, well, where? In the book of John. He said, you'll find it in the book of John. I said, where? We started this discourse. He said, you'll find it in the book. And listen to what He said to me. He said, eat the book. He said, eat it. It's there. And I did what Pastor Dave would tell us to do. I began reading it like you would. One time through, two times through, three times through. But I was still in that place. And He began to open some things. And we've seen a lot in the book of John here. And so a lot of things I'll say, Pastor Dave is broken, you know, probably before I was ever even born, you know. But there's some things in here that will actually open a gate. A pathway for your spirit to release into what I would call the Father's bosom. So I want to begin today in a little journey through the book of John. By the way, after he started opening this, it's 35 teachings later now, he's still going. And I don't know how God does it after you read, meditate, and all this, and He just opens things. You know, when Pastor Dave broke the born-again trails, those 60 tapes were actually condensed down from probably over hundreds of tapes. It just, the revelation just goes everywhere. Well, there's something like that here, too. Hallelujah. John chapter 13. Beginning in verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, they're in the upper room here. There's only 12 of them there. When Jesus, 13 people here. Just by an example, if you ever think that God cannot take a message that you teach to 13 people, and 2,000 years later the whole world's hearing it. Jesus was not the least bit concerned. There was only 12 people hearing what He said. He knew the Father would multiply these words for 2,000 years to come. Amen. And Jesus had said, verse 21, He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily I say unto you that one shall betray me. In verse 22, the disciples looked one upon another, doubting of whom He spake. In verse 23, there was reclining, a table reclining in Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. I like the way John talks about himself since he wrote the book. It's that disciple whom Jesus loved, of course. He wrote the book. I want you to notice where Simon Peter's position, where John was, He laid his head into the bosom of Jesus. And when he did that, he caught a whole lot more than who was going to betray him. Because there's nobody else that said what he's going to say from chapter 13 to chapter 17. Not one other gospel records the intimacy of what he said in these four chapters and what was leading up all the way from the chapter 1. What he said in here is the very gateway, the pathway to the fullness of the Father, and John caught it. Do you remember in John 21 when he was separating Peter? And lovest thou me more than these? And then he said, when you're young, you did what you would do. When you're old, you'll stretch forth and another shall undergird thee. And then he says, John, follow me. Now, Jesus is in a resurrected position here. That's like Jesus walking here. He's in a resurrected state. Follow me, John. And Peter's going, well, what about me? He goes, where are you going? He goes, look, if I will that he be with me to my second return, you follow me, Peter. I don't know where he took him or where he went, but he took him somewhere. Jesus likes to take us on a journey. He delights especially those, and there's not one in this room that doesn't have the desire to lay their head upon. But he caught something. He caught the Father's heart. You realize probably in the book of John that Jesus said probably over 15 times, I do not come to speak of myself. I do not come to testify myself. The works that I do, I'm not doing them. I speak for another, I testify another, and he doeth the works. I don't come in my name, I come in his. We come in his name. He came in the Father's. He had a message. Amen? So let's look at what he's saying here. Go to chapter 12. Feels good up here. Whew. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified. And verily I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life will lose it. He that hateth his life in this world will keep it. Verse 26. He's going to say this three times. Exactly. If any man serve me, let him follow me. That where I am, that's what you want to underline. Where I am, there shall my servant be also. All right, go to John. Chapter 14, verse 3. They said, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. All right. Verse, chapter 17, verse 24. The final prayer of the Lord in the upper room. Do you know most of this was not spoken until Judas left the room? He washed their feet, but he did not start speaking until Judas left the room. His ears were not worthy to hear what he was going to say. Verse 24, Father, I will they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that you have given me. Wow. He willed that. We'll get back to that. Go over, back over to John 13, if you would. So three times he says, where I am, there you will be also. If we can kind of identify where he is, then our faith can set a compass to go there. If we don't know where he is, how did you find Tulsa? GPS knows where the prayer center is. So what we're going to do is plug the GPS in today of where he is. If we can set the GPS within your compass, your faith will automatically release to that place. But we got to find out where he is and what where he is. Okay? John 13, 33. Now, he's telling his disciples he's going to leave them. He's trying to comfort them. He says, it's time for me to go. John 13, 33. He said, little children, a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me, as I said to the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. I thought, why? I had to go find out where he said that. Why couldn't they go? So I had to go back and find out who he said that to. So we're going to have to go all the way back to John chapter 7. Which actually started in John chapter 5. You know, when Jesus started doing miracles, he raised that man in the pool of Bethesda. A lot of people didn't like that. Some liked it and some didn't. They come over in John chapter 6. He starts telling them, I'm the bread of life. You're going to have to eat. And he goes, and this is the will of him that sent me, that you should have everlasting life. And he says it four times in chapter 6. Well, since we've got all day, may I just show it to you. You're going to like this. John 6. I wasn't planning on going that far back, but he says this four times in John. Look at verse 39, John chapter 6. I never understood this. He says, this is the Father's will that has sent me. Well, if it's his will, I'm getting in. I jump in it. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up at the last day. Okay? So he repeats it again. Verse 40, he says it again. And this is the will of him that sent me, in case you didn't get it first time. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. So I'm born again at that point, right? This is interaction here. I'm born again. And, say, and, after you're born again, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, Ephesians said we were raised now. So if the last day is when I die, what about what he did when I really died? You know, we were buried with him in baptism. We're also raised with him in glory. We'll get to that. Verse 44, no man come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Boy, this was a big one. That was a hard one for me. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He obviously wants you to know that he's going to raise something up at the last day. You know Hebrews chapter 9, called the sacrifice of Christ, the end of the world? You know why? You know what that last day was? The day you were translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That was the last day of the old man. You have everlasting life, and I will raise it up. I will raise him up. There's one thing about the Father drawing. I said, Lord, I don't get this. Father, you draw everybody. Why would he say that? Look what he says. No man can come to me except the Father. Now, you know, once you get to the Lord, he is going to do his thing. You're going to be born again. But he says, no man can come except the Father draw. So, is the Father going to choose who gets to come? How does the Father choose? How can our Father, that would leave the 99 to go after the one, that so loved the world, that gave his son, stand there and choose? Well, in the context of that, this is kind of like another teaching. There were those that wanted to kill him. In fact, you just go to chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. He would not walk in Jerusalem because the Jews sought to kill him. The Father requires that humanity honor the Son. You can take a guy on death row, a murderer, but that 1 second that he will yield and bow, that 1 second he will just yield and just move towards the Son, that 1 second he begins to move towards the Son, and said, what about this Jesus? As soon as he'd do that, the Father would go, whoa. But if you stand there like these men did, they wanted to kill the very one and the only one that could get any of us to the Father with hatred in the heart, they're totally blocked. The Father can't even begin the drawing process until they find something within their heart that will honor him. But once he finds it, they come. He draws them right in. He actually said that. But I got to move on. That's just a little bonus there. Okay, chapter 7 here. So he said, I'll raise it up. What was he raising up? What is he going to raise it to? John 7. You remember John 13:33. Jesus said, I'll just rehearse this. He said it to Peter, a little while, I'm with you. You shall seek me, but as I said to the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So we're going to find that right here. John 7:33. Now, these were the same guys he was referencing in chapter 6. Verse 33. And said Jesus unto them, a little while I'm with you, and then I will go. You ever do a little study on how many times he says, I go, in the book of John? He was straightened. When you start hanging around the Father, he had one mission. He came to get us and bring us to him. That was his mission. I come, I don't represent myself, I represent another, and I'm going to come get you and bring you to him. And I'm going. I go. Everyone said, I go. I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, but you won't find me. And where, oh, there it is again, where I am, you can't come. Wow. Tells Peter he can come, tells the disciples they can come. these guys, they can't come because they were rejecting him. He says, I'm the only way it's going to get you to him. You're rejecting it. The same discourse takes place in chapter 8. Because your students of the word will move through this, because I want to move into some things today. So let's go back and pick this back up in John chapter 13. He told them they couldn't go because they were standing there rejecting him. More than that, they wanted to kill him. He said, you don't even know why I'm here. He finally had to tell those guys, if you can't believe what I say to you, that I am from the Father, then believe these works. Because I'm not doing them. He's doing them. He has commissioned me to come and speak on his behalf. And this is what he wants to say to you. He wants you now to come to him. He wants you to be where he is. And I've come to make that happen. But if you reject me, you won't go. Amen? All right, so we'll pick it back up in verse 33 of John 13. He says, little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you'll seek me, as I said to the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. Now, he didn't say this to Peter. Look at verse 36. I love Peter. I have a whole lot of Peter in me. I want more John in me. I like the stability of John, but Peter's the one that will jump out of the boat. He'll jump first and then ask the question, oh, my God, what did I do? Now, God will use that part of you. But that part of you can get in a lot of trouble, too, because there's an intensity that comes with that. And you got to learn to harness that. It's cost me dearly, more than I won't even say. Most of you know already, but we won't even talk about it. But you'll find he wants to balance the both of them. Some of the John, he needs that Peter. Some of the Peters need a John. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, verse 36, Lord, everybody wants to know where he's going. Even the Jews, chapter 7, when he said, whither I go, you cannot come. They said, well, where is he going? Is he going to go to disperse among the Gentiles? Nobody knew where he was going. He told them, you can't come because you're trying to kill me. And the disciples been walking with him 3.5 years and not heard a word he said. This is the last night he's trying to tell them, and Peter's going, where are you going? He said, have you ever heard anything I said? Do you know how many times he said I go to the Father before that point? It's amazing how much are said and what we actually get. So Simon Peter's asking them too, where is he going? If I can find where I am is, if I can find where I am went, to be with where I am, where he is, we're going to be in good shape. Same problem, if you're where he is, you're going to be in really good shape. Especially if that can get set within the compass of your faith. You can release right into there. Hopefully I can get into some of that today. Verse 36, and so Simon said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus said, whither I go. And well, notice what he says to Simon. You cannot follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Afterwards, Simon. And I want you to notice that he says, you will be able to follow me afterwards. That's very important. Of course, Peter's going to argue with him. I've never done that, have you? Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I want to go now. Oh, really? You won't make it past tonight. The cock will crow. You have denied me 3 times. See the Peter? That's the part of you that has all the good intentions, but when it comes down to actually doing it, that part has to die, you know. Because that part really is not the part of you that's going to follow him. That's just the part of you that says a lot of things to God but can't follow through, because that part of you won't follow through. It doesn't have the capacity. But God admired his heart anyway. Amen? Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life. He said, yeah, sure you will. Verse 14, let not your heart, chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe, and really, you could say it like this, you believe in the Father, but believe in me also. In my Father's house, in my Father's kingdom, in my Father's domain, there are many dwelling places. Would you underline that word places? It's very important that we know where that place is, because it's embedded in almost every single book of the New Testament, most of the Psalms. If we can find where that is and understand the access that he's given, you have a right to be there. My Father's house, there's many dwelling places. If it's not so, I would have told you, I will go to prepare a place for you. So he's trying to tell Peter, he said, Peter, you can't go the first one. I'm going by way of the cross. We know this, you know. He said, you're not going to be able to go. But, now notice what he did here. When he went by way of the cross, what happened to him? He was buried and raised. Then he came back to Peter and said, now you can follow me. I'm going to have you follow me in burial, and then I'm going to have you follow me in resurrection. What we need now is resurrection. What we need now is ascension. What we need now is to rise. Let me show you something. Now, this is right in the middle of his teaching in John 14. Now, get the picture here. We're in the upper room, right? So let's just say this is the upper room, and let's say there were 11 disciples. Judas is out of the room. He's releasing the intimacy of his message to his disciples. And they're in the upper room. He starts really right there in the latter part of chapter 13. He's going all the way to chapter 17, and he does something very remarkable. They don't ever leave the upper room, by the way. Well, look what happens here. Verse 14, chapter 14, verse 31. Right in the middle of this message, Jesus just decides he wants to get up and go somewhere. But he didn't go nowhere. Or did he? John 14, 31, he says, that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise. We're in the table. Let us go hence. How would you like to be one of his disciples? Where are we going? Okay, we're standing here. This is how Gary would do it. You know, we're standing here. All right, where are we going? Where are we going? They went somewhere. Let us go hence. Maybe he was taking them into their inheritance to show them what it looked like. Wasn't in that room, and they never left the room. Maybe he brought them to the Father. They went somewhere, and there was an arising. Amen? Pretty interesting, huh? All right. So he said, verse 3 in chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am. Look at that. I'll come again. I'll receive you. What's the heart? We have to make it to where he is. You have an insatiable hunger. You would not be here if you didn't. Our hunger is designed to search the heart of God. There's interceptors, as we know, that'll come to try to intercept that hunger. Lock it down in religion. Lock it down in the world system. If you get past the world system, you get in, lock it down in religion. If that doesn't work, lock it down in lust of the flesh. Whatever, those interceptors. But that hunger's still there. It's just like when I found myself in brokenness 3 years ago. I didn't want it, but it just came back. And I'm like, no, go away. I'm fighting in the inside. Go away. I'll just show up, preach, go home. But wouldn't do. The hunger comes back. See? It has a destination. And it will not be quenched until it finds that destination. But this word gives us a very, very detailed roadmap with a compass to what that destination is, where that destination is, and how to get there. And that is the where I am. All right. Go to John chapter 10. Verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. And he was talking about all the guys in chapter 6, 7, 8, all of them. He kept telling me, you continue, you know the story. He says, he climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter will open. Now notice this. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now really carefully look at this. All right. He calleth his sheep by name. He leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep. So it says he leads them out. Where did he lead them out of? Translated out of darkness. Right. Into the kingdom of his dear son. So here we go. He was called out of darkness into his marvelous light. It said he leadeth them out. When he explains it in verse 9, he said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. So the shall be saved, lead them out. That's what happened right there. He led them out. In other words, you were born again right there. You came out of the world system. You stepped into the marvelous light, right? Right there. Okay, got that? Now, notice what he does. It's pretty amazing. He goeth before them. So, get the picture here. He kind of opens the door. I'm the door. Come on through. And so they pass through. They're buried with him in baptism. The old man. Raised with him. Quickened together, and we're born again. Thank God we understand that. Amen. Be a real hard time teaching a sinner saved by grace that he has access. Amen. So we have this. So then he says he goes before them. Now they're in the kingdom at this point. But he goes and stands in front of them. After he gets them through the door, he stands in front of them. And what's he say? And he says he goes before them and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Where are they following him? To be with him where he is. I'm taking you to where I am. Right? And so we start following like we've been doing. We're all in that family and we're following. Bring us to where you are. It's all there. Everything. Now, when he gives the explanation, he says, if any man enter in, see, he comes through the door, verse 9, right? He shall be saved. And notice this. Because he said it, when he first said it, he goes, he'll follow him. But here in the explanation, he'll say, after you're saved, you'll go in and you'll go out. Oh. Go in and out. And you'll find pasture. Sheep need to eat. Go in where? Go out where? Where am I going in and out? There are jurisdiction. This is a jurisdictional situation here. You are a dual citizen, my friend. God did something very remarkable with us. You know how the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, you know I'd had to separate everything? Spirit, soul, body. Because he's going to start using parts of you that he couldn't use the other parts. He was going to start working with parts of you and the other parts he wasn't going to work with, and he had to separate all that out. There's a part of you that's an heir of the kingdom, as we know. And it's a part that's not been made an heir yet. And his word separated that out. Because there is a part that can go in. My kingdom is not of this world, but it is within you. You will follow me. I will bring you somewhere. I will bring you. Start showing me the roles. The Holy Spirit will bring you to me, but I'll bring you to the Father. He'll go in and then come back out. What do you think the out is? You're not going in and out of salvation there, my friend. You're going in to the Father. Take that back. And you go back out. Release it to the world. I come back in. Go back out. Or you can be like Jesus.